Again, please welcome Pastor Brown.
Good morning. I am so glad to be here. I have with me this morning my daughter Kathy, my granddaughter Asia, and it's really nice having them here. I really wish you all could have met my wife Rosemary, but we have a son that is transitioning to Dallas, Texas, and it's a little hard for mom to watch him leave, and so she's still at home. She's probably standing out at the end of the street watching the truck go down the street. You know? But you'd love her. If we come back, I'll be sure to bring her with me. I'm just so excited to be here this morning. You know, when I got the invitation, I was like, where's that church? I don't remember that. So I drove out here the other day to find the church, and you all have a beautiful, beautiful place here. Let me look, see. Because usually when they give me an amount of time to speak, if they don't have a clock on the back wall, then that's null and void. See? But you guys got a clock, so I guess I'm stuck. I'll have to stick with it. Well, I like to start with a song, and so if you would cue that up, I'm going to step up here. And walls built by time. Others are fighting for causes and rights, laying it all on the line. But we have a mission far greater than this. We've been commissioned to go. We have a message of hope and real peace that all of the world needs to know. We've been commissioned to carry the gospel to every man that is lost. We have a mission of love and compassion, no matter what the cost. Piercing the night with the light of truth, pointing the way to the cross. We have a mission, God's great commission. We must reach the lost. Hurting and broken, the masses cry out, desperate for answers to life. Nowhere to go when tragedy comes, piercing their hearts like a knife. The world just doesn't need another hero today to tell them what they know they shouldn't do. They need to hear that somebody loves them, and it's up to me and we have a mission to carry the gospel to every man that is lost. We have a mission of love and compassion, no matter what the cost. Piercing the night with the light of truth, pointing the way to the cross. We have a mission, God's God's great commission, we must reach the Lord. Our captain has given us orders to march. Don't look to the left or the right. He's given us the power to accomplish our mission. And victory is just in sight. We have a mission to carry the gospel to every man that is lost. We have a mission of love and compassion, no matter what the cost. Piercing the night with the light of truth, pointing the way to the cross. We have a mission, we have a mission, piercing the night with the light of truth, pointing the way to the cross. We have a mission, God's great commission, we must reach the Lord. Thank you. I want to share some things with you all. You know, I think I love that song, first of all, because it's the thing that all of us have been called to do. And the church, I believe, is so misdirected in our day and time, and so divided, you know. And I think it's sad. I think that those who have educated themselves in the things of the spirit and the whole theological thing, they've gotten to the place where they know everything and can't connect to each other, and people just, I think it's all out of whack. Let me say it like that. That okay? Everybody understand out of whack, right? It's all out of whack. I want to share some things with you all this morning. About I guess it was about a year and a half ago, my pastor over at Stones Church was preaching on some things, and it just resonated with me. Because I get to the point sometime dealing with folk who come through the gospel mission, it's like, why do we keep seeing the same people over and over again? Why is it that people's lives never get up and gain traction? You know, how come they never just get up and you know, get it together? I mean, if there's power in the Holy Spirit to get things done, where is the disconnect? So, and the other thing I know is that the church is not just one building. The church is not just one ministry. You know, those are all part of the body. And I think that we've gotten to a place where we forget that we are part of something larger than ourselves. Kalamazoo Gospel Mission, for those of you who don't know, is now Kalamazoo Gospel Ministries, and we've combined with Kalamazoo Deacons Conference to form one organization, and it is the Kalamazoo Gospel Ministries. I think it's a better use of resources. When we went into the community and started asking people who supported both of our organizations what they thought, they said, we think that that's a no-brainer. We think those two organizations belong together, you know. So I think so as well. And the transition with us coming together is going really well. But we can't get caught up. How do I say this? Now, I have to understand what it is that Kalamazoo Gospel Mission does, and also has to understand what it is that Kalamazoo Deacons Conference does, but there has to be a common thread. There has to be something that stretches across both organizations. Kalamazoo Gospel Mission helps the homeless and those people who, you know, are disenfranchised, if you will, some people who are addicted. At the Kalamazoo Deacons Conference, they've always said that they help the working poor, so that's the next level up. But what is the common thread? And as my pastor was teaching, there are four things that we're going to do that are going to knit our organizations and any other organizations that want to come apart and be a part of Kalamazoo Gospel Ministries. They're all going to be about these four things. Now, I want to tell you right now that what you all are about to get is about, in the time that I have, I'm going to give you about four sermons. This, if I was to stretch this out and go into this, this would probably be about four sermons. But I'm going to give you the meat. Okay, is that all right? So, what we've decided to do is, coming into 2020, we are working up to what we call Kingdom Focus 2020. Kingdom Focus 2020. And as a part of that, for those of you, some of you all may know Dr. Tony Evans, who is the chaplain for the Dallas Mavericks. He was the chaplain for the Dallas Cowboys. His son now is chaplain for the Dallas Cowboys. If any of you all saw the movie War Room, his daughter was the star of that movie. And he's going to be coming to Kalamazoo in April of 2020, April 16th. And so he's coming to do, it's going to be a fundraiser for the Kalamazoo Gospel Ministries. We have an opportunity here on the 29th, which is I think this coming Saturday, at our church, Stones Church. We're going to show a movie called Kingdom Men Rising, and it is a movie that Dr. Tony Evans helped produce, and he interviews men from all different walks of life, and we're calling men to kingdom manhood. And so if you're not doing anything Saturday morning, if you could come out to Stones Church at 1225 North Patterson Street from 10 to 1, we're going to show that movie, and then we're going to get into some small groups and just talk about what that means to us as men. Because we have to take what we do, we have to take the call that is on our lives as Christians and as Christian men, we have to take it serious. It's too late for us to wait for somebody else to do what God called us to do. And so with that, we are focusing on gospel-powered life transformation. Gospel-powered life transformation. Now, gospel-powered life transformation means that, how do I say this? The formula to help people get their lives on track is not a formula that I'm smart enough to put together. I get people come up tell me all the time, they say, Pastor, you're doing a great job at the gospel mission. How do you do this? I don't know. I never went to school for rescue mission directorship, you know. When I was the maintenance guy, I ran the maintenance department at the gospel mission when they asked me to take it over. But I know how to talk to God. I know how to listen. And I know if he tells me something, then that's what I should be doing. And sometimes it don't make sense to me, but he's God. And a lot of us will look at stuff God tells us to do, and we say, well, that don't make sense. Well, let me tell you something. God's always going to know some stuff that don't make sense to you. If everything that God does makes sense to you, he's not qualified to be God. That's just the truth. And so I'm okay with God knowing stuff I don't know, you know, as long as his ear is open to my cry. And as long as I am open to hear from him and to grow and be corrected by him. And so transformation is the why of everything that we're going to do through Kalamazoo Gospel Ministries. It's not just about getting people out of the cold or getting them fed. It's not just about getting people off of drugs. It's about gospel-powered life transformation. And so every contact that we have, we are looking for a transformation experience. We exist to transform lives of individuals and families, beginning with our own lives. See, we can't do something or lead people through something that we're not doing our own selves. And I mean, if we're honest with ourselves, there's a lot of people standing behind podiums just like this all across America that's saying stuff they don't believe and then turn around and doing stuff that's inconsistent with what the Word of God says, and they'll be back next Sunday. I'm just being honest with you. That's just the truth. And I'm not here to judge anybody. I'm here to make sure that my own life is in alignment with what God says. And so we're starting with us. My staff, we're starting with us. We accomplish gospel-powered life transformation in four ways. We want to help people to, number one, know God. We want to help them to know God. Number two, we want to help them to find freedom. Now see, find freedom, a lot of people don't understand that, finding freedom. They think if you get off drugs, you're free. That's not always true. If you quit drinking, you're free. You know, that ain't always true. So we want to help people find freedom. We want to help them to discover purpose. Their own purpose, not their mama's purpose or their daddy's purpose, but their own purpose. And then we want to help them to make a difference. I mean, because I know a lot of people that you look at and you would think that they're healthy people, but they're not engaged in anything to make a difference anywhere. And I don't believe that God created us with a purpose. Isn't that what the whole scripture about hiding your light under a bushel? Isn't that what he was talking about? If he puts something in you, it's not for you. I've heard it said that heritage is what's been placed in you, and inheritance is what's been reserved for you. Don't get them mixed up. And by the way, while I'm on the subject, I'd rather have the heritage. Give me the heritage. Because if the heritage is strong, then I have the wisdom to get wealth. I can get money. But if I don't have the wisdom, you give me all the money in the world, I'll be broke next week. I see it all the time. I see it all the time. To know God. John 17 and 3. I'm going to read this from the, this is New King James Version, and we're going to talk about a few scriptures. 17 and 3 says, "Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." That's eternal life. You know, my assistant told me the other day, she said, "Pastor, listen to this voice message. This lady wants a meeting with you, and she says she knows you." I get this all the time. Everybody knows me. And so, I listened to the voice message, and the voice message said, it was a young lady that called our office, and she said that she wanted to have a meeting with me to tell me about an opportunity that's going to bless the staff at the Gospel Mission, and that I actually know Pastor Brown and his wife Rosemary, and my name is so-and-so. And I listened to the message. I told her, "I don't know who that is." I said, "I don't know who that is." And I mean, you know, I remember faces better than I do names, but it just didn't ring a bell, you know? And so I went home and I told my wife, I said, "This person said that they know us and they want to have a meeting with me." And my wife said, "I know who that is. She's the receptionist at the doctor's office where I went last week. And she used to be the receptionist at the doctor where you went. And she's selling something, you know?" And it's like, you don't know me. You know, but in her mind, she knows me. That's how people deal with God. See, they hear the preacher preach. They get fired up. "Man, I'm telling you, boy, he shall preach. I'm telling you, he was preaching the times down." What did he preach about? It was good. It was good. He talked about Jesus and everything. You know, well, what do you say? I mean, you know, what, you know. But they know God. They know God because they went to church. You know, you coming back on Wednesday night? Wednesday night? No, that's my middle of the week. What you talking about? Well, I play cards on Wednesday night. I can't, you know. But they know God. You know, it's interesting to me, and I just take a side note, a little rabbit trail here for a minute, that it's, he says that this is eternal life, that you they may know you, the only true God. But you also remember that Jesus said there'll be a time when they'll say, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we heal the sick? And he said, I don't know you. Young lady says she knew me. But I don't know her. It takes both of those working together to have a relationship. Boy, y'all quiet up in here. I'm having a good time. I'm having a ball. But you can't just say that you know somebody and just because you know their name, think you have a relationship, and so you have benefit of the relationship, and then they come back, just like I told my assistant, I don't know her. See, I don't want to stand before God and do that. You know, I don't want to stand before him and say, I worked at the gospel mission for over 20 years, and he's like, yeah, I know the gospel mission, but who are you? You know, I want to make sure that my relationship is sure. Founded on the word of God. And so we want to help people to come to that place where they know God. Next, we want them to help them find freedom. We want to help them find freedom. I love this. John 11, 43 and 44 says this, and I love this. Sometimes I think y'all ought to read this account of Lazarus over again sometime and think about what I'm getting ready to tell you. So John 11, 43 and 44 says this. Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Y'all read that before, right? Okay, I see a whole bunch of stuff on television. That's, you know, it's photoshopped and they do it digitally to make it work out. But they ain't have all that. And here you got Lazarus bound hand and foot, and Jesus tell him, comes up, he goes, zoop, zoop, and he's standing going, I mean, you know, think about that. See, y'all, you read scripture too fast, I think. You know, because that's funny to me. You know, that's funny. That's funny to me. But what you need to get out of that is the fact that even though Jesus called him, he was not free. He was bound. And Jesus didn't tell him, come here, boy, let me unbind you and whip out his pocket knife and cut the stuff that bound him. Jesus told somebody else, loose him and let him go. So I got a question for you. Who are you supposed to be loosing? Who are you supposed to be engaged in setting them free? Who is it? Who's that person? You know, because I'm telling you, all of us have people in our lives who need to be set free from something, and we spend too much time often talking about what's wrong with them and judging them rather than understanding that their story's still being written. We have a son, he's going to Texas today, and over the last couple of weeks, my wife would talk to him, and for some reason, I know, and it's challenging. We hate to see him go, he hates to go, but it's a good move for him. I believe this is God working in his life. But y'all had your kids go, I'm 43 years old. I know, you know, like that. You ever had somebody tell you that? I'm 43 years old. You don't need to tell me what, you know. So I told her, I said, honey, let him go. I said, because he's true. I mean, what he's saying is true. He's 43 years old. So once you give him wisdom, if he chooses not to take it, let him go. We'll cover him with prayer, but I'm not going to be bound to his wrong choices or bad decisions or not thinking ahead, once you try to tell him something, I'm not going to be tied up with that. You know, that's on him. You see, sometimes, and I've done it before, I've looked at him going, what's wrong with him? They done lost their mind. He done gone, you know, like that. And God told me, he said, if you dial the clock back a few years, people thought you was crazy too, you know. But the story's still being written. So we shouldn't judge people like they're at the end and it's all over and they should be there already. No, their story is still being written. And so we need to recognize what God has placed in people and help them, the next point, discover their purpose. See, our purposes are all different. We're all different people. We, you know, God made us up all different, and he made us the way that we are so that we can work out the purpose that he's placed in us, not the purpose that somebody else thinks you ought to be doing or the purpose that we think other people should be doing. We had a young lady stand in the rescue mission in the women's shelter, and you ever seen somebody that was always, they always want to rise up, you know, and defend everybody? You seen those people, you know? So we'd be disciplining one lady over here, and she'd come, you can't talk to her like that. You can't do that. That's wrong. You know, all loud and in the way, not knowing everything that's going on. And staff told me, they said, Pastor, what are we going to do with her? You know, I said, well, first of all, do you understand why she does that? They're like, why she does that? She does it because she's crazy. She just want to be. I said, no. I said, she does it because God made her that way. There is something in her that God has put in her to be a defender. And so you can either recognize that that's the way that God made her and respond to it, understanding that he made her that way, or you can fight against it. And you ain't gonna change it because that's the way God made her. And so I told them, I said, what you need to do, I said, sometime when there's nothing going on, when there's you're not disciplining anybody, I mean, there's absolutely nothing going on, and you see her sitting around, go sit by her. Go sit down with her and talk to her. Say, hey, how you doing? Tell me your story. You know, I mean, you know, what's going on with you? You know, how the kids doing? You know, how do you come to be here? I said, develop relationship. Don't you know, it wasn't 3 weeks at the most. And when they started disciplining somebody, she jumps up and come over there and tells the other person, you need to listen. They trying to do this for your good. You know, they're here. Turn the whole thing around. Because you tapped into what God created and put there for her. Changed her whole life through relationship. You can't build relationship. And don't get me wrong, and I'm not talking to anybody because I don't know. But you can't build relationship just putting money in a plate and thinking you've done it all. You can't build relationship by just praying and not engaging. You have to engage if you're going to make a difference. And you cannot allow, if God lays something on your heart, allow the fear of the enemy to keep you from doing what God told you to do, because if you do, you just placed God's voice lower than the voice of the enemy that told you to be afraid. Amen, Pastor. I tell you, I was thinking the same thing the other day. Boy, you, that's a good point. So, we want them to find freedom. And so our job is to help to free them, to help loose them, as Jesus said. And I'm just going to tell you, because I know a lot of Christians that are not, I know a lot of Christians that'll have a beer on the weekend. I know a lot of Christians that go to ball game and have beer and stuff like that, and they ain't acting all crazy. It's just my opinion that if you are one of those people that think, and that's why this would be for, this is why this would be for service. This is one of these points you got to drill down on, okay? what you're saying. I might have opening next week. So, but you know, I listen to AAA, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous, and I have relatives that have gone through that, and they don't drink anything. They don't won't touch nothing. But they don't touch it out of choice. They won't touch it out of fear, and I'm not in agreement with that. You know, you can't go over there. Don't go over there, you know, because you're subject to go back. The word don't say that. That's not freedom. The freedom is it don't control me. That's what freedom is. When you set free and God can send you somewhere and it'll be there and you know you don't need it. Being bound is all you got to do is know that it's in the room and you running off over there. And I'll be honest with you, that's where I was. I was in the Navy where being drunk was like a rite of passage, you know. And when people talk about, you know, they talk about drink like a sailor, cuss like a sailor, I wrote most of that stuff. You know, I got a Navy Bible at home, and I tell people, they say, what's the difference in a Navy Bible? I say, you remember when Peter denied Jesus the third time, and he said, and it says, in your Bible, it says he cussed. In my Bible, they tell you what it said. And then we want to help them discover purpose. Ephesians 2 and 10 says, for we are his workmanship. This is in the Amplified. His own masterwork, a work of art created in Christ Jesus, reborn from above, spiritually transformed. Spiritually transformed. And we have limited that to went up front and at the altar call. And it seems like once somebody gets to the altar and says, I accept Jesus, and they be all broke down and everything like that, and they accept Jesus, and we figure, they made it. And then we get surprised when they have trouble later because we didn't help them develop anything. We didn't help to grow them up. You know, the difference between all of us is spiritual maturity. I know some people that's all messed up will cuss you out in a New York minute, and it's not because they ain't saved, it's because they're spiritually immature. Because it don't take much to get saved. But after you get saved, you need to grow up. And we don't do that. We don't want to grow up. We want to have that, you know, basic. You know how you get the basic insurance on your car, you don't have to have full coverage? Well, we just want the fire insurance, you know. Don't worry about the flood, because he said it wasn't going to flood no more, so I don't need flood insurance. Just give me the fire insurance, you know. And then we figure we can do whatever we want to do. And that's not helping people. It's not healthy. It's an unhealthy church that responds to people that way or doesn't respond at all. Spiritually transformed, renewed, ready to be used for good works, which God prepared for us beforehand, taking paths which he set so that we would walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged. Which he prearranged and made ready for us. And we ain't walking in it. We're just not walking in it. And I'm sick and tired of being at an organization, the Kalamazoo Gospel Ministries, that just recycle people's pain. We have been praying that God would just move, the Holy Spirit would move on the Kalamazoo Gospel Mission, that if somebody gets off of the bus or the train, And it might be midday. They might not even need anywhere to stay, but they just want to come over and get something to eat. That if they set foot on our property, if they got a cane, they can throw it away. If they got a wheelchair, they can get up and walk. that whatever is going on with them, that the Spirit of God is so thick at the Kalamazoo Gospel Ministries that they are healed instantly. And you know why I pray that? Because I know my God, and I know he can do it, and I've seen him do it. I've seen him raise people. We had a young man, about three weeks ago, they called the mother and told her that her son, who had been operated on for a tumor, they told him that he had died. And so they were making preparations at Bronson to take him to Battle Creek to remove his organs because they'd had a fire at Bronson. And so they put him in the ambulance, and they do the walk of honor. And so they had all the hallway was lined up, and all the nurses and that, they're moving this young man out, and they get out to the parking lot, and he's been pronounced dead. They put him on the ambulance, and his mom gets up on the ambulance and kisses him. Can I just kiss him one more time? She kissed him, and they took him over to Battle Creek, and they pulled him into this room where they're going to harvest his organs. And his mom said, Can I just kiss him one more time? And she leaned over to kiss him, and he squeezed her hand and sat up. And she called us, and the only thing she could say is, he got up. She just kept screaming, saying, he got up. So I know what God can do, and I'm sick and tired of settling for less and giving more credence to what the doctor said. And the doctor said this, doctors don't know nothing. I mean, don't get me wrong. I have a lot of respect for doctors, but I also know they don't have the last word. They don't, And I know plenty of Christian doctors that will pray with you, But I also know that God overrules doctors all the time. I've gotten to the place now where I go to the hospital. I don't even want to know what the doctor said. I don't want to know because I don't want to have that war going on in my mind about, they said it was cancer. Ooh. I don't believe that when the word cancer is spoken, God looks at Peter and goes, oh, Jesus. I just don't believe that it shocks him. I think cancer and head cold is the same thing to him. I want to see some stuff. My Bible says, signs and wonders will follow those who believe. I want to see some signs. I want to see some wonders. I want to see some stuff that'll blow your mind and that's done in such a way that can't none of us take credit for it. And then lastly, we want to help them to make a difference. Matthew 28, 19 through 20 in the Amplified says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Help the people to learn of me, believe in me, and obey my words. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, remaining in you perpetually, regardless of circumstances, on every occasion, even to the end of the age. And even some of the most seasoned Christians I know live as though Jesus stood at the front entrance to the churches they left on Sunday and went, see you next week. And he don't. He went to work with you, he went home with you, he said it. And so what we have to do is we have to engage people wherever we are, whether it's the guy in the supermarket, whether it's the bus driver, regardless of who it is, we have to engage them as if Jesus is standing right here and he's the one that put them in our face right now. And we have to have an expectation. If you don't expect nothing, you're going to see exactly what you didn't expect. To help them make a difference. Making every interaction effective by helping people to know God and by serving mankind with their gifts. Every person in this room is gifted. Every last one of you all is gifted. What are you doing with your gifts? Because we're at a place right now in society, our world is at a place right now where I was a little shade tree mechanic back in the day, and we used to say that your car, if it was running good, we say it's hitting on all eight. Well, we need to be hitting on all eight. We need everybody operating at maximum potential with maximum expectation, walking in the maximum power of the Spirit. We need people that will stand up in the face of controversy and say what God said. One of my granddaughters and I was taking her to work one day, and we got in a conversation about abortion. And she said, well, what about in this case? You know, and I said, nah. She said, well, what about this case? You know, and I'd say something else. She said, well, what about in this situation? You know. And so I went home that evening, and I said, God, help me. I said, give me something that will help her to understand. And this is what he told me. He said, what you doing debating something I already made a decision on? I never thought of it like that, you know. And sometimes we get caught up in those debates when all you got to do is say what he said. And when they start saying, well, what about this case? I don't know anything about that. I just know what he said. I mean, it's like the guy in the Bible that said, I don't know. I just know that I was blind, and now I see. That's how, you know, the proof is in the pudding. That's all I know. And that's what we need to do. Stop trying to know everything. And just say, you know what? I don't know that. I just know he said this. This is what he said. And I'm going with that. You know. It's interesting to me. I think we're gonna all get, because none of us know everything. You know that? Even the smartest one of us don't know everything. My little brother used to say that none of us is as smart as all of us. I think sometimes some of us who are so theologically astute are going to get to heaven, and Jesus is going to look at us and go, what was you thinking? How'd you get that out of what I said? You know, it's going to be like, I mean, because we think we're the only ones that know the only way, and, you know, it's like, you know, the only day to worship and the only songs to sing, and you got to dress like, you know, and I can hear him now, you know, boy, what was you thinking? You know, how in the world did you get that out of what I said? You know, because believe me, it's not that deep. It's not. So my challenge to you today, do you know him? I mean, do you know him? Do you really know him? I don't mean just know his name. I'm talking about, do you have his cell phone number? Can you get in touch with him? And if he answered, would he know you? Or would you have to say, it's me again, Lord? You remember 5 years ago when, you know, I have to remind him who you are, you know. But do you know him? Do you know him? Are you free? Are you free, or is the you that everybody knows a made-up you that you made up so you can go out in public and then you get back home, fall apart? Are you free? Because he wants you free. He needs you to be free. Do you know what your purpose is? Do you know what your purpose is? I can't tell you. But he wants you to know what your purpose is. I guarantee you it's something that you enjoy doing. It's going to be something that you enjoy doing, and it's going to be something that you're good at. It's usually something that you're so good at, you think everybody else is good at, and they look at you and they're astounded because you can do that. And you think, oh, shoot, I thought everybody could do this, you know. No, you're better at it than anybody else. Why? Because you've been anointed to do it. And here's the big one. Are you making a difference? Are you making a difference? And in whose lives are you making a difference? I had to get to a place where I stopped being so intense about everything. You know, I used to, man, I'm telling you, my kids would do something and I'd be like, what is wrong with that? Don't even come over here no more. You know, you're acting like that. I heard you. And I mellowed out because the story's still being written.
How old were you when you got to that place?
I'm still mellowing. I'm not got to the place. Brother, I ain't got nowhere. I'm still mellowing. I like to think that I've always been a good man. I like to think that. But I had some issues. You know, I was the guy that I raised my kids like my daddy raised me. And some of them lived through it. You know, they did. One of my younger sons told me, he said, he told me, he said, Dad, you done mellowed out, you know. He said, it looks good on you, you know. Have a better relationship with my kids because I'm not so intense, you know, because I recognize that just like my story was still being written, their story is still being written. And regardless of where they are, you're still praying for them. Are you still holding them up? Are you still believing that God is going to change their lives? My mother told me one time, she said, I knew that God had saved your life when you walked in the house and sat down. Something as simple as that. I would leave the ship on Friday, drive to Washington, and walk in the door changing clothes, go upstairs and kiss mom on the cheek, come downstairs and hit that door. Sunday night, come in the door changing clothes, put on my uniform, come back downstairs, kiss mom on the cheek, and get on the road going back to work. And she said, the day you sat down, I knew something was different. The little stuff that makes a difference. Let's pray. Father, I just thank and praise you, God, for this opportunity to share your truth with your people. I pray, God, that the word that was spoken today, God, would find a resting place in the hearts and in the minds of the hearers. I pray, God, that you never allow us to be so judgmental of people that we don't believe that wherever they are and whatever they're doing, you can reach them. I pray, God, that you would teach us to focus on the purpose that you have us here and cause us, God, to walk in it, trusting you step by step, day by day, to do your will, to bring your kingdom to the earth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you.